Welcome to the Issue Is Podcast. I'm Alex Michaels, and this week we're tackling three big issues. One is Senator Dianne Feinstein's mental fitness. Big bombshell report came out in the San Francisco Chronicle this week, quoting several different Democratic senators who are worried about her ability to remember things, remember names, locations, and they're concerned about whether she can serve. Tal Copen of the San Francisco Chronicle is one of the co-authors of that. We talk with her. Then we talk about the California governor's race with Michael Schellenberger, an independent who's running for governor. Big issue is homelessness. He's written a lot about it, talked a lot about it, and he'll talk to us about how he thinks the system needs to change. And then we talk baseball and sports with the future voice of the World Series. Joe Davis, the Dodgers announcer, was just promoted by Fox Sports to take over for Joe Buck as the voice of the World Series on Fox. It's one of my favorite interviews we've done in a while, and I hope you will stay listening for that. But let's begin with Senator Feinstein. This big story coming out this week. Joe Garofoli, who we've had on often on The Issue Is, and Tal Copen co-authoring this story. It's gotten a lot of pushback by some that know Senator Feinstein on the record, but off the record, a lot of people are sort of raising their concerns about her, and it's in line with some similar reporting that I've done as well. So here is Tal Copen.
The story is co-authored by Joe Garofoli and our guest, Tal Copen. Welcome to the show for the first time.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is not an easy story to report. What are the key takeaways you had from some of those difficult conversations?
Yeah, I think difficult conversations is a great way to put it. I spoke with four members of the Senate, three of whom were Democrats, a California Democratic member of Congress, and three former staffers for Senator Feinstein. And throughout those conversations, a combination of anecdotes and observations really conveyed a real concern about her ability to really perform the job she is expected to do as one of two senators for nearly 40 million people of California. You know, the California Democratic member of Congress I spoke with had a recent, it happened several weeks before the passing of her husband in February, had an interaction with her that took place over several hours where not only did they not have the sort of rigorous, detailed policy discussion that they were accustomed to having with Senator Feinstein, and they had over, you know, more than a decade over the years, not only did that not transpire, but this lawmaker found themselves introducing themselves to Senator Feinstein. And not just at the beginning, but multiple times throughout the conversation when she would forget portions of the conversation that they had already had. And, you know, these lapses in memory were not consistent. They were not all the time. Mm-hmm. There's sort of a mix of days, you know, sharper days and days where she's having trouble recognizing people she knows, according to them. And so that makes it all the more difficult to sort of pinpoint because it kind of ebbs and flows, but it's definitely there, according to these really up close sources we spoke with.
And frankly, I've been hearing the same thing for years, that there are good days and bad days, and her staff doesn't know when the good days are going to be. And for part of that reason, maybe why she has not done an interview with us. She has not done an interview on camera with us for over 4 years. She's turned down every request. She's the only statewide official who has not appeared on this show. She did not grant an interview request to you and Joe. She did send this statement. We want to put it up on the screen. There's no question I'm still serving and delivering for the people of California, and I'll put my record up against anyone's. Her longtime friend, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, sent you this statement saying it's, quote, unconscionable that just weeks after losing her beloved husband of more than four decades and after decades of outstanding leadership to our city and state, she's being subjected to these ridiculous attacks that are beneath the dignity in which she has led and the esteem in which she is held. So all of the statements on the record where people gave their names were in support of her. It's a very different story, clearly, when people speak to you privately. Now that this report is out, what are people saying to you privately?
Sort of remarkably, we haven't seen almost anything from you know, elected officials in California. I'm certainly, you know, I've seen academics and consultant types raise the question of whether, you know, there should be a fresh look at whether there should be term limits for federal office, because the truth is her term runs through the end of 2024. And there really is almost nothing that can be done. There's technically something, but it's almost never used. And really in cases of expelling traitors from the Senate, which this is not that circumstance, there's really nothing that can be done, even if voters feel that she's no longer able to serve them unless she decides to step aside.
Have you gotten the sense that she is anywhere close to stepping aside?
No, we have not gotten that sense. There's no indication. And, you know, in our reporting, there's this sense of sort of, in addition to the pain and the sadness, because all of these people deeply respect Senator Feinstein and revere her. I mean, these are not people who take what they were telling me lightly. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were painful conversations for them to have. That's how sort of grave the situation has become. So it's very hard for anyone to convince her that now is not the time for her to be serving. That's what my reporting showed.
Well, Tal Copin, thank you so much. You can read her work in the San Francisco Chronicle. We appreciate your reporting, and we appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our thanks to her. Now on to the race for California governor and Michael Schellenberger. Here's our conversation.
Michael Schellenberger, welcome to The Issue Is for the very first time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alex.
You've never held elected office before. Why are you the most qualified person out of 40 million people in this state to lead California?
Well, first, I'm, like most people, just heartbroken by the humanitarian disaster on the streets, the homelessness crisis. But also, I'm very concerned about the crime crisis that we're experiencing in every city across California. I have a vision of how to solve this problem, which is the same way every civilized nation has solved it. Enforce laws, because when you don't enforce laws, people don't follow them. Shelter first, housing earned, and universal psychiatric and addiction care, because the cities are overwhelmed. We need to solve this at the state level.
Let's talk a little bit more about your philosophy. You say the Beatles were wrong when they sang this. Of course, they say love is all you need. You say when it comes to homelessness, you need a lot more than love. What is your bottom line when it comes to addressing this massive issue?
And let me add, I love the Beatles, and I do believe we need love. I think we need
being anti-Beatles is a bad political philosophy.
Exactly. But yeah, we need also to enforce laws. There need to be consequences for people breaking the laws. You know, we're such empathic people in California. We care about everybody. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's why so many of us live here. It's why I came here. We have such liberal, progressive values. But we're being taken advantage of. I mean, people are coming here from out of state. They're breaking our laws against drug crimes, public camping, public defecation. People are mentally ill. They're suffering from a drug addiction. These aren't homeless encampments. They're open drug scenes. We have to do what every civilized nation has done in the world, including very progressive ones like the Netherlands, but all of Europe really, which is we need to get people the care they need. We can't let people live in these open air drug scenes. People are being raped. People are dying. People are being killed. People are overdosing. So we need to enforce laws. We need to enforce laws against public camping. That means we need universal shelter, but you ultimately need carrots and sticks. And this idea that we're going to somehow just give away $750,000 apartment units to everybody who demands one is ridiculous. It creates an incentive for people to come here, and it deprives people of the incentive to get into recovery from their addiction and their mental illness.
You want to create a statewide system called CalPsych, which would put a lot more power in the hands of the state and less power in the hands of the counties.
With CalPsych, a single statewide system, somebody overdoses on drugs, the CalPsych worker can find them a rehab facility to go to. They can then get recovery. They can then go work, for example, on Cal Fire. We need plenty of more people to work on managing our forests properly. We know that work is an important part of people's recovery. But this system is going to eliminate the 58-county duplication and solve for the gaps in the system. Once we have that system of care and we have sufficient shelters for everybody, not housing, shelters, then we can say, hey, we need to enforce our laws against public camping. This is the humane thing to do. We have an obligation, I believe, to shelter everybody in safe, clean, basic shelter, but you don't have a right to your own apartment unit in Venice Beach or San Francisco. That's ridiculous. Shelter first, housing earned. enforce the laws and a statewide psychiatric system.
Let's talk about the raw politics of this. Governor Newsom, of course, won election, defeated the recall, had about 62% of the vote both times. When you ran for governor in 2018, you came in ninth. How do you actually win this thing?
People think Governor Newsom can't lose. The thing is, he is wildly unpopular on homelessness. Depending on the poll, 60 to 70 or even higher percent of the voters think he's failing on homelessness. I mean, obviously he is. Look at the crisis on the streets. Look, we're drawing support right now from everybody, Republicans, independents, Democrats. Our campaign consultants have never seen anything like this. They've never seen a candidate who transcended these ridiculous left and right extremes. I mean, I think we're all sick of this. We want practical, common sense solutions.
All right. Well, we play something on this show called Personal Issues. This is where we get to have some fun. 30 seconds of your favorites, because a lot of people are just getting to know you for the first time. So these are rapid fire. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Okay. What is your favorite way to relax?
Favorite way to relax, listen to music.
Okay, what kind of music do you listen to? I know you're a big runner. When you're running, what are you listening to?
Right now, I'm listening to Black Keys. I'm listening to a lot of Kanye. I listen to really indie alternative rock. I'm a Gen Xer, so that's
typically
what I run.
What's your favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show? Man, I don't watch as much TV as I should.
It'll soon be the issue is. Who is your role model?
Martin Luther King.
Very nice. Michael Schellenberger, thank you so much. Best of luck to you on the campaign trail. Great to have you on the issue is.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Our thanks to Michael Schellenberger. Now, let's talk about baseball. And listen in closely to the voice on this call.
Joe Davis. Joe, welcome to the issue is for the first time, and congratulations.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it very much.
All right. So when did you get that news? How did you get the news? In that moment, is it like bring you back to your childhood?
Yeah. So I kind of, like everybody else, just saw the rumors coming out that there was a chance that ESPN was going to go after Joe Buck, and my ears perked up immediately. But it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I'll believe that when I see it. And I was actually in Las Vegas doing the Pac-12 basketball tournament. And my boss at Fox flew into Las Vegas and sat down with me. And he said, I'm here to offer you a chance to be the voice of baseball. And I lost it. I lost it like a woman being proposed to, I guess. I kind of
the bachelor, ugly cry, the whole thing.
It was not great. It was not great. But yeah, obviously a dream come true.
Well, bring us back to your childhood and when you thought about becoming a broadcaster. What made you want to do that? And sort of, was this the dream?
Yeah, honestly, when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, had you asked me then, what do you want to do when you grow up? I would have told you, I want to announce the World Series. So I was lucky that I had that foresight. And from the time that I started thinking about what do I want to be when I grow up, as soon as you start having those thoughts, I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And I think it's okay if you don't have any idea what you want to do, but certainly helps if you can figure it out early. So it kind of guided my decision-making on, you know, how I picked a school and what I did while I was in school, and definitely set me ahead of the curve knowing that, knowing it's exactly what I wanted to do at a really early age.
Well, ahead of the curve is a bit of an understatement. You're 34 years old right now in this gig. I'm 35, and many of us are very excited for you and amazed that you're able to make this happen. Let's talk about your main day job, which is also pretty cool, which is calling Dodger baseball games. This week, you almost called a perfect game. You called an exciting home opener as well. The Dodgers have quite a roster this year. Is this the best roster that you've ever seen assembled?
I think it's the best lineup that I've seen. I think still questions about the pitching, especially the starting pitching. What's that depth going to be like? We've seen, Alex, you know, in recent years, such deep starting staffs where it's like, how are you going to find starts for all these guys? And it always winds up sorting itself out just because of injuries. So you hope that that depth doesn't get tapped into a ton. You got a few guys down in the minors that I think are going to help out starting pitchers as the year goes on. If you can just get to midseason and you give those guys time to develop a little bit more, you have Dustin May coming back from Tommy John surgery in the second half. then yeah, I think then you start to think this may be the best roster that at least I've seen, because the lineup certainly is the best that I've seen.
Well, and that lineup, when it gets going, is pretty scary for somebody to face.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top of it, and it's like, wait a minute, this is the Dodgers? You have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, a 1-2-3 in the order. Had you told somebody that 4 years ago, they would have been like, wait a minute, were you playing a video game and you just trade all the best players to the Dodgers? Because it's crazy. You had Mookie Betts beat him in the World Series in 2018. They got him. You had Trey Turner knock him out in 19. They went and got him. Freddie Freeman knocks him out, wins the World Series last year. They go and get him. So it's pretty incredible for sure to be calling games of this team, which is always so loaded and never more than this year.
What's crazy is that the Dodgers have assembled an all-star team for 2022 and the Lakers assembled an all-star team from 2009. So it seems to be working better to have all the guys in their prime. You have been with the Dodgers since 2016. They've been really good since you've been there. In 2017, you officially took over for probably the greatest broadcaster ever in sports, Vin Scully. What did he teach you about broadcasting?
I think the big thing that he taught me was to be myself. And I'm sure you've had people tell you that too, as you get going in this industry. And it sounds simple and it sounds easy, but I think the tendency for anybody is to try and be what the person before them was. And like you'd be stupid not to try and learn from the person before you, but it's a fine line between trying to be Vin and learning from Vin and taking things from Vin. And it's the same advice that Red Barber gave him when he started in 1950. Be yourself, let yourself come through, take ideas from other people, things that you like, things that you don't, but apply it to you and let yourself shine through. And I think especially in baseball, when that's every day, you're going to get exposed if you're not being yourself, because you're on TV for a long time, for a lot of days, every single day.
Well, and Vin famously worked solo, you know, didn't have a color guy. You are paired with one of the all-time great Dodgers, Oral Hershiser. And it's clear watching you guys, that even though you're from different generations, you're really close. What does Oral mean to you, and what has he taught you?
Yeah, he means as much to me as anybody in my life outside my parents and my wife and my kids, honestly. And he knows that. And our third baby's middle name is Oral, as a testament to that. So he's been, you know, from the day that I took this job, you mentioned the team winning a lot of games. I think that's the biggest reason I haven't been run out of town. I think the second biggest reason is that we have a great time together, and he's taken me under his wing. So the team wins games, and then there's Oral. And Oral has been a best friend, a mentor. He's, you know, he'd tell you he's way younger than his age is, and I'm probably a lot more boring than mine is, so we kind of meet in the middle. And it's special. I don't think you can't create chemistry like that. We're just so lucky that we have it, and it starts as people, and it starts with him taking me under his wing.
Meanwhile, you know, you yourself are a young dad. Your husband, as you mentioned, you've got some of the cutest kids. We've got some pictures of them. How do you balance the two? Because your job is pretty intensive, but then also being a dad.
Yeah, I think that I mentioned I'm boring. I'm not kidding. I got my family, I got my job, and I like food to cook it and go eat it. So it's not like I have a bunch of hobbies that are pulling my attention when I'm not working. It's really when I'm not working, what I'm doing is hanging out with my family. And I think that's important to, I don't know if important is the word, but it helps to really be present, because I don't have anything else I'd rather be doing. And having a family that understands, and having a wife who is a superstar and is as instrumental in my career as I am. It takes two to tango, you know, and I married really well to be able to do this job like this.
Your family looks like the people that would be in the picture frame. Goodbye. You know? We like to play a game called Personal Issues on this show. We put 30 seconds on the clock, ask some of your favorites. This is rapid fire, so first thing that comes to your mind, here we go. All right, ready? With so many kids, what's your favorite Disney movie?
Right now, it's got to be Encanto.
What's your favorite TV show?
We're watching Drive to Survive currently. My wife and I are. But number one for me all time would be Breaking Bad. Number one on TV right now is Succession.
Great choices. We know you love to cook. What's your favorite food?
Love pasta. Yeah, we'll just go with pasta, you know, going out to a real authentic Italian restaurant.
And lastly, what would be your walk-up song if you ever came up to the plate?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm going to have to put some thought into that one. I know I'm not allowed to in this game. I don't know. AC/DC sounds cool. Sounds like, you know, crosses any generation. I'm sure I'd come up with something current, but let's say Thunderstruck. How about that?
That's a great choice. But before we go to break, I want to play one of my favorite songs, which is I Love LA, because that means the Dodgers won. We're hearing this song. That means they're winning. You are clearly winning at life and in broadcasting. I know I was super excited and pushing for you to get this job. You deserve it. Fox is in great hands. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, my friend. It's great to be on with you. I really appreciate it.
Our thanks to Joe Davis and to Michael Schellenberger and to Tal Copen. Thank you for listening to The Issue Is. Really appreciate it. Hope you'll join us again next week. Hope you'll subscribe. Reach out to me on social media. Really appreciate hearing from you. Thanks. See you next time.